My nail looks like the top of a burst sausage. It's cracked down the side and seeping blood, the black of the bruise already starting to bloom. I slammed it in the bathroom door, which feels like a significantly embarrassing place to come back from with a broken finger. There are two regulars in the wine bar. I wrap a tea towel around my hand and pretend like it's some fancy flourish I've decided to adopt. Ah, yes, monsieur, madame, voulez-vous some wine? She likes that I'm Irish because she has fond memories of taking her daughter horse riding there when she was a child. She tells me about a man she once knew who got kicked in the head by a horse so hard that he could only say the word Tuesday for the rest of his life. How are you feeling today? Tuesday. Can I get you anything? Tuesday. Do you know what day it is? Tuesday. Everything comes right in the end. The wine slops out of her glass when she holds it, and she keeps putting it down in a different place each time, creating these half circles all across the tablecloth. When I come over to fill it back up, I see that she's traced her finger through the wet to complete them. He won't even talk to me. I've only been working here for a few days, so I haven't earned that yet. He clears his throat every time he wants me to come over, as he thinks that's less rude than clicking his fingers, which you can tell he's just dying to do. One of the middle buttons on his shirt has popped, and a long curl of hair escaping like an arm clawing its way out of the grave. I don't want them to know that I'm hurt. That feels important for some reason. I just need to get through this shift and get home. I'm 19 and I'm living in New York. Our flat is above a bar called the Stumble Inn, whose speciality is a burger that you can choose to pump full of whatever filling you want. They inject it into the meat, and when you bite in, it oozes out from the centre. Whatever ancestral creature deigned to crawl out from the primordial stew and give us sentience made a mistake. I eat one every day. I start keeping a Tumblr blog, posting Bon Iver songs under my black and white photography of the smiley face balloon slowly deflating in our kitchen. Our sitting room is the width of the 6 airbeds we all sleep on every night. Except if you want to have sex, then you go up to the sex roof. The sex roof is like a normal roof, except there's a moldy couch up there that you can have sex on. I call it the crying roof because I'm not like other girls. And also no one wants to have sex with me. That's where I am now, after work, cradling my gross finger. I sit on the black tarmac, still warm from the day's sun. I miss home. I miss my family. And I feel like a fucking failure for admitting it to myself. I put on my headphones and press shuffle on my iPod, because I still have a few solid years to afford feeling like the protagonist of reality. All it takes is one good song. After her husband died, my granny started to suffer from bouts of anxiety. A therapist made her a tape to listen to whenever she got overwhelmed. I think it had some breathing exercises on it, maybe a mantra or two. But the main thing was a piece of music. Tchaikovsky's Waltz of the Flowers. In the wake of my granny's death, when my mother was pregnant with me, she found the tape in a box of her things and played it over and over again. She'd think about her mother and the fact that she now had to become one, on her own. And years later, as I sit on that roof in New York, Waltz of the Flowers starts to play. And I don't know why, but I can't stop listening to it. You inherit things from your family, a bad heart, an aversion to onions. You don't know where it comes from or how it will continue on. That's fine. You are the fixed point for a while. What you say goes. We can't control how things will be remembered in the future. Memory is fickle. So are people. You don't know what part of you will be resurrected, trotted out, made to dance in the chorus line of someone else's narrative. Maybe future technologies will allow your hollow image to sit at a Christmas dinner with family you've never met. They'll plug you into the wall and say, "Now, isn't this nice to have your great, 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 great grandmother here with us?" And you'll smile and raise a roast potato to your lips, but it will fall through the simulacrum of your mouth and pool on the chair below. They won't have invented a way for it to stay inside yet. Maybe something dumb you once said will be recorded and repeated, and in a post-apocalyptic world made sacrosanct to the survivors who will cling to it for meaning. They'll erect statues, die in your name, all because you woke up one day bored and tweeted, "Pee is stored in the balls." Maybe no one will remember you at all. You won't know. Either way. There's a short animation by Don Hertzfeldt called The Meaning of Life that tracks the evolution of humanity over the course of 1,000 years. It shows us what we are now, stick figures walking across the screen repeating a single line of dialogue, bumbling, inarticulate and fixated with the mundanity of our lives. And then we zoom out. Time speeds up, the Earth spins on its axis around the sun, and before we land back in our unknown future, Tchaikovsky's Waltz of the Flowers starts to play. What I felt on that roof, what I still feel when I hear it now, is something that seems to transcend the mess of life. So far above my own tiny sadness. It makes me feel small, but not in an insignificant way. In the way you feel when you look beyond yourself for the first time and know that you're part of something that can't be explained, however much we try to. So desperate are we to complete the circles on the tablecloth. Don depicts it as space and time relentlessly marching forward for good or ill. In Disney's Fantasia, it's nature, leaves dancing in the wind, forsaking any sense of control. For me, it's about love. Because even though memory is fickle, feeling isn't. And something doesn't have to necessarily be true for you to feel it. I never got to meet my granny, but listening to Waltz of the Flowers, I know that I love her, and I know that she's a part of me and always will be. And what better kind of immortality could we wish for than that? Most of life is trying to find meaning and connection where there is none. We're so good at torturing ourselves with that. And a lot of the time, what we don't realise is that both of those things are implicit. We are alive because everyone else was. That means something. That connects us all, whether we fucking like it or not. There's a Raymond Carver poem called Rain that ends like this. Would I live my life over again? Make the same unforgivable mistakes? Yes. Given half a chance. Yes.